So it's a beautiful thing to be planted. Remain in me, Jesus said, and I'll remain in you. It's a beautiful, and then he says, remain in my love, because the defining characteristic of a believer is your love. Yeah, he says that. And we've been talking about this in relationship to this desire to go and do and wanderlust. And in Psalm chapter 1, there's a beautiful passage here that we're going to share together today and talk about what it means to remain in him and where we do that. Psalm 1, verse 1. Let's go. Oh, the joys of those who follow. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with the mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season, with leaves that never wither, and they prosper in all they do. That sounds pretty good to me. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Lord, in the next few moments, you speak to our hearts and our lives. Help us to hear your word, and help us, oh God, to receive it. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We need you. Bless your word today in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, the joys of those who follow after God. The King James Version says, blessed. Do you know what it is to be blessed by God? I mean, it's a beautiful thing to know that because you've chosen to be planted in Jesus, you have some privileges. You have some privileges. Matter of fact, the Bible says you have the privilege to come boldly before the throne of grace and pray. Matter of fact, you have some privileges that God's going to look after you. You have some privileges that you don't walk alone. He said he'd always be with you. I mean, there's some amazing privileges that come with remaining in Jesus. You're blessed. Jesus would use his parables, you know, those Beatitudes, we call them. Blessed are those who mourn. I don't know about you, but I've had a few mourning days. For they shall be comforted. I don't know about you, but I love the love of that word, comfort from heaven. Because as much as people try in the midst of loss in their comfort, it's never enough. But there is a God in heaven who knows the valley of the shadow of death. And he knows how to comfort us in our trouble. I mean, there's some beautiful things. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they're going to be filled. Hey, that's a beautiful thing. That when I'm knocking on the door, I know this, it's going to open. It's going to open. There are things that are going to be imparted to my life because I'm hungry for him. Hungry for him. Now, I have to admit, there are some times I pleaded for and I got something I wasn't expecting. But what I wasn't expecting was really what I really needed. And that's the way God works. And we have to humble ourselves to accept what he does. Now, God has called us to be, now not so with the wicked. There are things that happen with, notice what happens. The blessed person doesn't take counsel from the wicked. How many of you know there are philosophies of the world, there are positions, wisdom, and all kinds of ways that are contrary to the positions of the kingdom of God? Now, the scripture makes it clear that that may sound pleasing. That may sound like wisdom, but the truth of the matter is it's earthly. And if it's earthly, it's unprofitable toward the kingdom of God. And you and I have to understand that and realize that. And that's why he says, don't take counsel from the wicked. You got to be able to discern the truth of his kingdom and the falsehood, the lies of the world. The second thing he says that the righteous do, those that are blessed, they don't associate with sinners. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean you don't know any sinners. Is there anybody in here that doesn't know a sinner? Because I want to meet you. Because you need to get out a little more. But it does mean you don't yoke up with them. I mean, that's what Paul said. You don't yoke up with unbelievers. And we take that in relationship to marriage, but it's bigger than marriage. It's talking about a covenant agreement. It's talking about a business agreement that you don't want to be partners with someone that doesn't hold the philosophies of what you believe in. And it's important to understand that, but you're not going to hang around with people whose you're not going to yoke up with people whose philosophies are totally different than yours, because it's going to suffer. You're going to suffer your spiritual life. It doesn't mean you're not friends with them. It doesn't mean that you're not associated with them. It's just you're not yoked up with them. Does everybody understand that? And the third thing he says is you don't think like the faithless, the mockers. How do you know there's a lot of people mocking Christianity? I mean, they mock it. They think you're foolish. They think you're crazy for being on church. They really think you're crazy if you give money to the church. They just can't comprehend that. Why? Because it's worldly vision they're looking through. And we look on a different perspective. We look on a different vein. We look at a heavenly one. Where we live on a principle called the kingdom of God. And the principles of the kingdom of God are totally different than the principles of the world. Oh, let me give you an example. Jesus says, when someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. Now, I'm going to tell you, that is otherworldly. Because what I want to do is not turn the other cheek. And when God asks us to operate in the principles of the kingdom, we got to have a source outside ourselves to do that. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit. Somebody thank the Lord. Because you can't do it on your own. You can't go the extra mile. You can't without the Holy Spirit helping you. And the principles of the kingdom are that way. You see, the mocker, here's the biggest thing. You know you're in the company of a mocker, a faithless person, when they can't receive correction. Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise child accepts a parent's discipline. A mocker refuses to listen to correction. You know, the Bible talks about in Hebrews that we are to love the discipline of the Father. Whew, that's hard. But God disciplines those whom he loves. Have you ever been spanked by the Holy Spirit? Well, Pastor Larry, you really can't use that word spanked there. You know, you get Listen, God is God, and I've been spanked by God. And I don't, you know what? I love the correction of God. Now, the problem comes when the correction of God comes from that little kid. That correction comes from somebody who doesn't know as much as I do about the Word of God. Because if you're not humble, you're going to miss his love. You're going to miss his correction. And listen to me. I'm going to tell you a little secret right now. This is probably the most important thing I say today. you need the correction of God. We all need the correction of God. Proverbs 15:12 puts it this way. Mockers hate to be corrected, so they stray away from the wise. They don't want anything to do with anybody with godly wisdom. Don't be fretful about the division in the world. It's when that division happens inside your heart, your head, that's what you need to worry about. When you can't accept the correction of God, when you can't accept the wisdom of heaven and you replace it for the wisdom of this world, you have set yourself up for destruction. You can't serve two masters. And he's not just talking about money there. He's talking about philosophies by which you invest and have rooted your life into. We have to be careful. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. So don't bother correcting mockers. They'll only hate you. But correct the wise, and they will love you. Well, you know what that means. That means the more the Lord corrects you, the more you ought to love him. Amen? And you know what? The people who love you are those willing to correct you. I need friends like that. Amen? I need friends to tell me, hey, Larry, you got spinach in your teeth. That's a friend. Larry, you probably shouldn't say that. Why? Because blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'll try not to. Joy had to correct me last week. I said someone's name wrong. What did I say? Adele. The singer? It's not Adele. It's Adele. Thank you very much, Joy. Everybody needs somebody. To correct them. Here's the key. Proverbs 21, verse 24. Mockers are proud and haughty. And they act with boundless arrogance. Can I tell you, as a believer, arrogance should not be one of your qualities. Walk humbly before the Lord. God gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I've thought I've been right. You know, I was right, only to find myself wrong. That's a very humbling thing. Huh? The Lord told me the other day, he says, you know, part of the problem today in the church is, Larry, please preach the word. Because that's what the scripture says. Preach the word, not your opinion. Ouch. The world really doesn't need your opinion. It does need the word of God. And if your opinion is the foundation of the word of God, speak the truth in love. There's a right way to speak the truth in love. Amen. Here's what the blessed do. This is what the psalmist says. The blessed do. They delight themselves in the law of the Lord. They delight themselves in the instruction of God, the word of God. And the problem with Christianity and Christians is we think delighting ourselves in the word of God is just possessing the knowledge of the word. If I can just know Jesus, you know, have the knowledge of Jesus. You know, having the knowledge of Jesus is not the same thing as being saved. Having the knowledge of the Word of God is not the same thing as delighting yourself in the Word. Because the Bible's not a textbook. The Bible is a living Word. Sharper than any double-edged sword. The Word of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, because the Scripture makes it very clear that no prophet did it by their own will, the writing of the Scripture, but they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, who gave them what you read. So if you're just trying to possess it as head knowledge, you're missing. You are not delighting in what God purposed through the power of His Holy Spirit, because the delight in the Word of God means you're possessing it not just here, but it's transforming this. Your heart. Your heart. Yeah. It's not just for information's sake. Yes, it has history, but it's not a history book. Yes, it has all kinds of knowledge, but it's not a textbook. I'm going to tell you, you can't read the Bible for just knowledge's sake. In Psalm 119, verse 16, it says this: I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. What it means to delight in the Word of God means you submit to it. You know, there are times I've been reading the Word and I didn't like what it said. Really? I don't want to. Aren't you glad it's Holy Spirit inspired? Because then you can call on the Holy Spirit to help you live what He wrote. You submit to it. You know what else you do? You rely on it. You rely on the Word of God. You can't survive without the Word of God. Jesus makes it very clear. Man does not survive on bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that is your Bible that's living. Living. I don't know about you, but I have found help in His Word. I don't know about you, but I have found healing in His Word for my soul. Yeah. Listen to it. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent His Word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. You see, that's why the Scripture says in John 1, and the Word became flesh and went around healing. It's not some static words on a page, but it's a living embodiment of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, the truth of heaven being imparted to your life that somehow gets impregnated by you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now you're living, walking, and doing things you never thought you could because of what God has done through the transformation of His Word in your life. The Word becomes a part of you. To delight in its life is to live it out. To do what it says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again, not to a life that will quickly end, for your new life will last forever, because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. You see, when the living Word is active, things happen. The man who carries the pruning shears is at work through his Word in our lives. Glory to God.